Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of Long Live the Queen. It's been a minute. This is Simran.
This is Chinma.
And we have some new content for you guys, finally.
Yes, we do.
No, it's actually really funny because we thought we lost our last episode's recording. But we actually didn't. I just did a silly and I saved it in the wrong place, but we're good now. We're good.
That's good. I actually liked what we did. I'm really glad we don't have to redo it.
Oh my gosh, no, because the recording was like 45 minutes. I was like, if we have to redo that shit, I'm going to be so upset.
No, but seriously.
Anyways, so I know that in the past we've talked a lot about relationships, how to handle relationships, how to handle toxic relationships, feeling insecure in relationships. But today we're going to kind of switch it up and talk about something different. We have a couple questions from you guys today that we're going to cover on sort of about self-discovery.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Finding yourself, what you live for, your purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. And all that kind of stuff that people usually do outside of a relationship. But I guess we'll talk about more of those details. Our first question today is from an anonymous asker on Instagram. And I don't have my phone in front of me, so I'm saying this from memory, but I remember it very clearly because the question was, how do I live for myself instead of living for others? Chinma, do you have any insight on this? I see you smiling.
I just feel as though I'm the perfect person to answer this question. You know, growing up with my African family, love them to death, my favorite people in the world, but sometimes it can feel as though that you're living to achieve what they feel like is best for you and not for yourself. Like one big example was college, you know, like growing up, there was no even question about it. Like after high school was college. And I feel as though I never really found what I truly, truly loved because of that mindset. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Because I love UNCC. UNCC is a great school. But I can genuinely say that if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't have went to school. Like, I wouldn't have went to college at all. But because I didn't want to feel like I was disappointing her and that I was going to be like the mess up in the family, I just did it because I'm like, well, everyone else is going to be happy. Everyone, they think it's a good idea. It might be a good idea.
Yeah.
And I had to come to realize that even though I love my mom, I respect my mom, I love our culture, I know she sacrificed so much to come to this country and everything. But if I don't live for myself, I'm going to regret everything.
That's true. That's true.
You're gonna regret it.
Yeah, and I can speak for the same as a child of Indian immigrants.
Okay.
Like literally, because like there was no question about college. Like after high school, for the longest time, I didn't even know that college was an optional thing. Like when I got to high school and I was, you know, like those little like college like prep talks and stuff, and they're like, how to choose like the college that's the right fit for you, whatever. You know, there were things that were like, oh, if you take a vocational route and you don't go to college, I remember sitting in my seat being like, what? Because that's
no
how
college.
That's how ingrained it was in my mind.
So ingrained.
Yeah. And, you know, like I'm grateful that I'm here because now I'm, you know, I'm going into the computer science field, which obviously is going to let me live a very, very comfortable life.
No, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I had to find, you know, when it came to computer science, I wasn't really sure, but I had to make sure that I actually liked computer science because it's one thing to do something because you don't want to disappoint your parents. You know, like my parents, yes, they were like, computer science is a good field. You should do it. And I never really felt forced by it because luckily I liked computer science. But, you know, when it comes to something like choosing your career and choosing what to do with your life, you do have to, in part, make that decision for yourself. And
honestly,
not for
just
else.
Everything, like not even careers, like who you're with, where you live, how much you make.
Yeah.
If you enjoy doing something, you cannot do that for other people. I will say this about friends and family. Of course, we love the support. Of course, we want their opinions. But at the end of the day, you're the only person who lives your life.
Yeah.
So if you're unhappy, that's not going to translate to them. You're going to be living in your own unhappiness every single day.
Yeah.
So you have to literally sit down and think about it and say, am I willing to do this for the next 20 years? Am I willing to do this for the next 50 years? Just so I don't disappoint anybody.
Yeah, because in the end, it's your happiness that you're sacrificing. When you live for others, you are putting their happiness before your own.
Right.
And, you know, we don't want that because the longer you do that, the more it turns into a cycle. It's one thing to, you know, sacrifice a couple hours out of your day to help out a friend. It's one thing to do something as a favor to someone else, to be kind, to actually care about other people. Mm-hmm. But when you do things like when you act a certain way to please others, when you go to college to please your family, mm-hmm. when you choose a certain career to please your parents, you know,
talk to a certain girl because your friends think that she's pretty, like just stuff like that.
Yeah. If you stay with a guy who's not really great for you, but because your friends think you're cute together and you feel like you have to stay together.
Yeah.
That's going to ruin long term. That's not going to be a good route to take. Mm-hmm. It's really not.
And you're going to learn to hate yourself, honestly. Mm-hmm. If you keep doing things every single day that makes you unhappy, mm-hmm. you are going to hate yourself. And it's not fast. It's not fast at all. Mm-hmm. It's a slow and gradual thing. Every single day you can be like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this. Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm with this person. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make you hate yourself because you're going to think and you're going to be like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And you can't answer the question. That's the crazy part.
Exactly.
So you really have to learn. And it's really tough. I'm not going to lie. This is not something easy for me to say because it took me a while, honestly, for me to sit down and say, what truly makes me happy? What am I truly doing for myself? And what am I truly doing for other people? Mm-hmm. And when I sat down and did my realization, I just realized that, like, this is wrong. Like, how I'm living my life is completely not how I want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was definitely like an awakening for me to really think about all of that. And I'm just so grateful that I did it. Because, you know, some people, they wait till they're in their 40s, mm-hmm. their 50s, their 60s to realize, like, I can't believe I wasted all those years doing this, and this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's very cheesy. But everyone's like, you know, when you're on your deathbed, what are you going to remember the most? You're going to remember the times where you put yourself before anyone else, mm-hmm. where you put your own happiness before anyone else, and you felt good about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, living for others, like you said, you're going to hate yourself. Where's your self-esteem? Gone. Out the window, right. Down the toilet, you know? And, you know, taking moments to just be alone and think about your values, mm-hmm. and what's truly important to you in your life, and keeping those and throwing away things that mm-hmm. are no longer going to be of any value to your mm-hmm. life, that is, it's like spring cleaning. It's necessary. Right. It's important.
I think it's so, it is so important to enjoy your own space. Mm-hmm. It's so important for you to enjoy being by yourself sometimes. Yeah. Of course, go out, meet people, meet friends, hang out. But if you don't have that time for yourself to sit down and just honestly just evaluate your day, just say like, oh, did this make me happy? Did, like, you know, just to sit there and just talk to yourself. Like, sorry, if you can't be by yourself, there's a real problem.
Yeah.
If you feel like you have to be around people 24/7, that's something you have to overcome. Like, not even something that you just keep on going with your life. No, it's mm-hmm. not healthy at all.
It really is because I went through the exact same thing. Like, I mm-hmm. got to a point where I had to be social all the time because mm-hmm. I was suppressing feelings from my last breakup and a number of other things that were going on, you know, with my parents and things like that. And, you know, in order to suppress all that, I would hang out with friends every single day. And I would literally be afraid to spend a moment alone with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That was so bad.
So bad.
And, you know, now I'm trying to think, like, to answer this question, how I went about it. And it was really just forcing myself to be alone, take myself on dates, things like that. You know, just going to a Starbucks and doing my homework alone for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
So refreshing. And it really, like, yes, it's uncomfortable at first, especially when you're in a place like I was. Mm-hmm. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be with yourself. You have to train yourself to learn how to be alone with your own thoughts and come to peace mm-hmm. and come to terms with them.
I think, too, for me, I'm an overthinker, too. So I really, like, before I remember, I'll just be like, no, I don't want to think about that. Yeah. I don't want to do that. But then when you start enjoying your company, when you like being by yourself, when you're like, if I don't hang out with anyone for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be okay. I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You really start learning more about yourself.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
The things you like and you don't like. And it took me such a long time to truly understand that. Because mm-hmm. right now, I'm the type of person, I don't know if this is weird or not, but like, if I go out with people or after a week of me just doing just regular stuff, I sit there, I'm like, okay, so what could I have done better this week?
Yeah.
Okay, what did I not like about this conversation?
Yeah.
Or what could I do better so something like this wouldn't happen again? Mm-hmm. And I really think that this is a problem, too, because people want to be liked so much that when you feel like you want to be liked so much, you start losing your values and what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a bad problem what we have nowadays. nobody wants to stick to what they believe in anymore because they don't want to seem like the outsider, the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I'm sorry, guys, be the bad guy.
Yeah, it's okay.
Be that bitch. I'm sorry to say that, but be that person.
Yeah.
It's okay to be the bad guy.
It's okay to know your worth.
As long as you're okay with who you are, mm-hmm. as long as you can genuinely say, now I didn't say go kill someone and say, well, Chinma said, no. Yeah. I'm saying, if you can truly say that what you did was morally right, what you can lay down in bed and be like, I know I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I know that I put everyone's perspective in mind. Then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Even if that means you're the one out of 100 people who's doing it, it's okay. It's fine. Don't be part of the majority just because the majority is thinking of stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, the civil rights movement, wasn't Black people the minority and we were right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing. It's okay to not be the most liked person in the room, basically, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what happens a lot is the thing with living for others, uh-huh. being a people pleaser. That's with, you know, taking everyone else's, you know, if mm-hmm. if everyone's like, oh, let's do a certain activity that makes you uncomfortable.
I think it's really going out to dinner and thing. You know, a lot of people have not done that before.
Go do what?
Like going out to dinner by themselves.
Really?
Huh?
I love that.
I had to learn to love that. It's weird at first.
It's weird.
It's weird as hell at first.
But like taking yourself to a little fancy restaurant, mm-hmm. like sitting down by yourself, table for one, all that. There's something so like, something so refreshing about it.
I don't know. I ring my computer. Like, I'll even watch Hulu. Like, let me tell you, I love some Chili's. Exactly. I will go to Chili's by myself.
I love me kava.
What's that?
You never been to Kava?
No.
It's next to, okay. Special shout out to Kava for sponsoring my table for one dreamy little lunches that I do by myself sometimes. No, it's so nice. Okay, it's like, this way I can explain it as like Mediterranean Chipotle. Because like, okay, because you know how it's like build your own bowl uh-huh. kind of thing? So it's that, but instead of like Tex-Mex food, it's Mediterranean food.
Okay.
So you've got like rice, you've got lentil tabbouleh, you've mm-hmm. got like falafel, you've got pita, you know, mm-hmm. you've got all that stuff. So it's really good. And it's right next to Dunkin' Donuts and the Blaze Pizza. You know what I'm talking about? Next to Tropical Smoothie.
Oh, actually, yes.
It's right in that complex.
Okay, I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to check that out. I've never heard of that.
You should. Yeah, 10 out of 10. Love that place. But anyways, yeah, like I will just go there and it's nice because it's like, I don't like, obviously, like I don't talk to myself, but it's like I'm just with my own thoughts. I'm just enjoying the air. I like people watching. I love listening in on other people's conversations.
I
love
am listening 100% to the tea. On people watching. I'm so nosy.
I always want to know everyone's business. It's so fun. But you know, it's nice. And like, one point I was going to make about this is, you know, like I take myself on dates. I go through the Starbucks drive-thru just because I want to treat myself some days. And I do that on my own. And you can do that while in a relationship. A lot of people, what they think is they're like, okay, I need to do some self-discovery. I need mm-hmm. to, you know, find a little bit of my own independence. You can still do that in a relationship. You do not have to break up with someone.
I don't tolerate that excuse. Let me tell you that right now. I don't tolerate that excuse. And if any guy gave me that excuse, it's never happened to me before because mm-hmm. they know better. But like, if any guy gave me that excuse for not being in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
I would honestly feel really disrespected.
Yeah, because
it's
like,
honestly disrespectful for you to say that to me, honestly.
Because the thing is, if you're in a relationship and the guy or girl or whoever you're with, if you're like, hey, I want some space on like, you know, maybe a couple times a week, just to go out by myself, just to, you know, feel a little bit independent. Mm-hmm. I would like to do this on my own from now on. If they don't respect that, if they're like, no, we're in a relationship. We have to do everything together. We have to be together 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the relationship for you.
But at the same time, though, because I've been experienced with a guy I've talked to, like, you know, discussed. We didn't date or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he gave me that excuse at the end, like, oh, I need to focus on doing this, this, and this. This is my problem. When you're in a relationship, you guys are not attached at the literal hip. I don't understand the concept of you having to break up with someone
mm-hmm.
or stop talking to someone because you don't know how to do time management well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have two jobs. I work like honestly like between 30 to 45 hours a week. I'm taking 5 classes. I'm doing this. You're doing stuff.
Yeah.
You have your job. You're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have the time to put you in my life, I expect the same thing,
exactly,
honestly.
Exactly. And if you are in, like the whole point of being with someone is so that you can learn about each other, but also grow together.
Grow together. You don't have to grow individually.
Yeah, you don't.
And if you feel like you need to do that, then don't get in a relationship in the first place.
You don't need to.
See, that it goes back to what we're saying, though, because when you're a people pleaser, they're probably like, oh, I don't know if I can tell my significant other that I need some more space. Because, you know, the problem is people don't have really good communication skills.
Yeah.
Especially guys. Communication. We got to get better, guys.
Men, come on.
Guys, come on.
Up your game. But yeah.
But the problem with that is that people take saying, I just need a little bit more time for myself as, oh, they don't want to be around me. That's not what that means. Mm-hmm. Just learn how to listen and not, because the thing with people is that people just want to talk. Mm-hmm. But they're not listening. They just want to talk at each other.
Yeah.
But if my significant other told me, hey, Chinma, we've been hanging out a lot lately, and that's cool. That's great. 5 times a week. It's obsessive. I need to focus more on school and work. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Chill. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, some people be like, oh my God, like that means he doesn't want to be with me anymore. Da, 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 and start a problem. Like, no. Mm-hmm. If you communicate with someone, it should be okay.
Yeah. If you
find
are
time
like,
for yourself, regardless if you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you have a kid, if you don't, like, if you're single, and you have to find time for yourself no matter what.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if someone, like what you were saying, comes up to you, if your significant other comes up to you and is like, hey, I would appreciate it if we, like, just for the next couple of weeks, you know, I need to focus on school. Could I have, like, 2 days of the week to myself? I just need some alone time. If instead of hearing that, instead of hearing, I still love you, I just need some space, you're hearing, I don't want to be with you, I want to break up with you, that means you're already insecure in the relationship.
Exactly.
Like,
no, for sure.
Yeah, like, it's okay to overthink, it's okay to have bad thoughts sometimes, but if you are not even led, if you have your significant other in a chokehold like that, they're feeling suffocated. And you're not having a good time either.
And they're unhappy.
And they're unhappy. And you're unhappy. And
then it's like, what's the point of being in a relationship if you're both unhappy?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, girl, please. Please. It's hard. It's definitely hard. But if you don't start living for yourself soon, you're going to become depressed. It's something that's going to automatically happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It is so important for someone to know why they're here on this earth, and not even on some, I'm a Christian or you're Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu. Mm-hmm. Every person needs a purpose, though, because if you don't have a purpose, if you don't feel like you have goals that you're taking to amount to something, life becomes useless in a way, because now you're just waking up doing a routine, and it's like you're doing a routine for what, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're doing it for other people, you're going to hate it.
You are not going to have an ounce of self-esteem left in you.
No self-esteem at all. No. You're going to literally just be asking everyone, what should you do for life? Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course, take opinions from your friends and family. That's really important. I appreciate all my friends and family who give me advice and give me opinions on my life.
Yeah, I'm so glad I went to college.
I'm so glad
I'm studying computer science. You know, and I couldn't have done that without the advice of my parents and peers. But yeah, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. But I don't know. But at the same time, though, I don't know if my mom, if she gave me the space to maybe find my own passion, maybe if I wasn't so concentrated on college, since I was in kindergarten, maybe I would have wanted to do something else. Or, you know, it's always that what if that's in me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's still in my head till this day. But at the end of the day, I'm not in a position of suffrage. So it's not like I'm like, oh my God, like I'm a depressive vibe. It's just always that. I don't know, like, what if I didn't always think of college as my number one thing after high school and everything?
Yeah, and the what if questions, too. Like, because you know, not just you, but anyone, if they feel like they've been living for other people and they're now, like, kind of stuck in a position where it's like, okay, I've done so much for other people, now what? You can always turn that around. If you came to college because someone told you to and then you find out it's not for you, you have the ability to turn your life around and take a different route if you want to. You know, it's not like I've been living for other people. Now I'm stuck with a guy that I don't like. I'm stuck with friends I don't like. I'm stuck in a school I don't like. You have the ability to turn that around.
I don't know whoever asked question is a girl or a guy, but regardless, starting over is okay. Mm-hmm. And people are so weird about starting over. Like, you know, when you're stuck in the same lifestyle, like the same job with your same friends, you sort of get used to it to the point where if something is not in its place, you feel weird or you feel shameful for not doing it continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel shameful. Yeah. If you need to get divorced, get a divorce.
Yeah.
If you need to stop being best friends with someone you've been best friends since you were babies, mm-hmm. stop being best mm-hmm. friends. I am so tired of people holding on to relationship just because of history.
Just because of long term. Because let me tell you, like, it's literally okay. 2 months ago, it wasn't an official breakup, but I'm no longer talking to my friend who has been my so-called best friend since I was 16.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just because we started in the same place. We both went to high school together and we mm-hmm. both, you know, did the same major and everything. But like since COVID, we've grown apart a lot. Mm-hmm. We've become completely different people and we no longer agree on anything anymore. But I chose not to stick with that relationship mm-hmm. just because we've been friends for 5-6 years. Like, yes, like it's going to hurt a lot because I've had so many memories. Yes. But at the same time, like it was not good for my mental health. And, you know, there was just nothing that we could do about it. And it was also a long distance relationship at that point.
Right.
So, you know, and we just had a falling out and that was that. And, you know, yes, it was upsetting, but I knew that, you know, continuing to be friends with this person was not good for me.
It was
not
the right thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm super on that. I pick my peace over friends. I pick my peace over vibes. I keep my peace over anything else. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I think I've come to the point in my life where if I'm unhappy, I'm cutting that thing off immediately.
Yeah.
Because before I used to have this thing where I always found the good in people. I've always tried to work things out mm-hmm. and keep it pushing. I'm like, well, we've been friends since the sixth grade or we've been friends since high school. And I'll keep trying to force that relationship into my new life. And it never works out.
Yeah.
Sometimes your high school friends are just your high school friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes your college friends are just your college friends.
Yeah.
And I think as people, we always try to merge our old and new life together.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to cut everything off, start completely over, meet new people. And honestly, let me tell you something. The friends I just made recently for the past 6 months, I can say it's 10 times better than the friendships I've had since the 9th and 10th grade.
Hell, you know what I mean? Yes, indeed. Because I feel like I completely started over in terms of a friend group. Like the friend group I have now, I did not have like even 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. But I can honestly say that I feel way more comfortable with these people because of, you know, not necessarily because we're similar, but I just feel way more comfortable talking to these people
right.
and getting advice from them than people that I knew in freshman year of college or senior year of high school.
100%, 100%.
And it's like, you know, people come and go into your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going back to the question of living for others, people come like seasons and they go like seasons.
Right.
So if you continuously live for them as they come and go, you're just going to be miserable because in the end, you're only hurting yourself because only you are the yourself. One person who you are going to be with for the rest of your life. Not mm-hmm. even like a significant other, not even a spouse. You know, you mm-hmm. are living with yourself for the rest of your life. So, you know, like you said, choose your peace over other people.
I choose my peace, bro. I actually had it in my bio on Instagram. And my mom, like, called me one day. She was like, Chima, this is so weird. Take that down off your bio. And
I'm like, you're right, though. You're right.
I'm sorry. Like, if you come on my Instagram, letting you know now, like, my peace is over anything. So if you ever try to stress me out, if you ever try to bring arguments to my face, like, I pick myself.
You're like, nope, I'm not listening. I don't perceive it.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I used to care so much. This is the weird part. Mm-hmm. It's not that I cared about what people thought of me per se, but I always wanted people to think that I was a good person. Because I knew I was always a good person. Like, of course, you're going to know yourself.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, I wanted other people to see like, hey, like, I'm a good person. Like, yeah. Do you not see that? Like, mm-hmm. Do you not see that? And I used to be that type of person that felt like I had to explain my action. But then I realized, you know what? Forget y'all. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I did what I did. I said what I said. And I'm a good person. I know I'm a good person. I know why I did what I did.
Yeah.
And you don't need to explain yourself to any other person.
Literally.
So if you decide to cut someone off, if you decide to take someone out of your life, you don't owe them an explanation.
You really don't.
You don't. I'm so sorry. And I think people have this thing about closures. Closures are great. I love closures to a certain extent. But at the same time, if you don't feel like, if you're talking to a brick wall, what's the point of a closure, you know?
There's nothing. Because
no point.
If that person has been acting the same for however long and they're not going to take anything that you say to them, at that point, just cut them off.
Like, just cut them off. You don't really have to say too much.
Like, just like blocked. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, right. Literally, yeah. So... Yeah, anyone listening, living for others, not good.
Don't do it.
Value yourself. Value your own mental sanity, you know, because in the end, you're only going to be dealing and grappling with yourself and your own thoughts and your own emotions. And
no, for sure.
Yeah. And so that's all we got to say for that.
So I got a question from Instagram and it said, how do I mature emotionally?
How do I mature emotionally? So how would we describe emotionally immature before going into maturing?
Okay. I think when you're emotionally immature, you don't know your own feelings and you don't know how to deal with certain situations, dealing with emotions and how to understand other people's perspectives in a situation and not have such a air-mindedness type of value, like the open-mindedness, you know, trying to understand truly what's going on, not rush to judgment, rush to anger, rush to yelling, you know, actually try to assess the situation.
Yeah.
Try to bring your emotion out and figure out what is the best solution for it.
Yeah. Instead, yeah, I think the issue a lot of people have when it comes to, I guess, being emotionally immature.
Yeah.
Is with relationships and stuff, again, being a people pleaser.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and just doing whatever the majority says and not really taking into account what's good for them and what's best for their own life. Because, you know, that's hard for a lot of people. And the easiest thing is to just jump around friend to friend and just do, you know, what they think is right according to their friend group or according to whoever's in their relationship or listening to their parents or, you know, whatever, as an adult.
Right.
And not being able to come to terms with their own values and what they need to do, what's best for them.
Oh, no, that's good.
So, you know, again, like what we were talking about earlier with like cutting people off, an emotionally immature person could not be able to do that.
That's right. That's definitely right.
You know, if someone's like constantly texting you and, you know, they're starting to bother you a bit, you know, starting to bring down your mental health a bit, being able to say like, hey, I need some space and I need you to not text me as often or, you know, that's just random. But, you know, anything like that, that's something an emotionally mature person would do. So I guess like the question, how do I mature emotionally? First of all,
don't act like you're in high school. I don't know. Like,
that's easy.
I think there's so many people who think they're grown, who think they're adults, who think that they're so mature. But in reality, they aren't at all.
Yeah.
I think we need to first off stop the narrative of just because someone's older that they're automatically mature.
True.
I hate that stereotype. I hate that narrative because I have a lot of friends who I can say is 10 times more mature than some of these 40 and 50 year olds. But that's for another topic for another day. But I think when you're emotionally mature that you can just truly understand your emotions and then know how to react to it.
Yeah, be able to rationalize
them. Yeah, be rational, you know. And I think also that if you have a really selfish mindset where you only understand your perspective, you only understand why you did something, I don't think you're emotionally mature. That's even true. With situations that I feel like other people are dead wrong, I will still sit there and be like, you know what? Why did they think that this was okay?
Yeah.
How did they grow up thinking that this was okay in their native? What type of, like, I'm that type of person. Like, my friends hate when I do that. They're always like, that person's grumpy, cut them off, end of discussion. Yeah. But I'm always the type of person to be like, no, I want to know what made them want to do that. Like, I'm really that type of person.
Because the thing is, like, if you, like, an emotionally immature person acting in a situation, someone says something that pisses you off. You feel angry. You act out on that anger. You know, you blow up on that other person. You yell at them. You scream. You punch walls. Whatever. You know, you act like a child. You basically throw a tantrum. Versus a mature person who is like, you know, educated on the matter of their own emotions. When they feel anger towards a person, they're like, okay, I feel angry at this person. Yes. Would yelling at them make the situation better?
Literally, that is 100%.
And a lot of people don't know how to take that second. And this is not just for like anger, you know, this is for any emotion.
Sadness, depression, like this. Honestly, low-key, even happiness, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you feel that, you know, your example, for happiness. You're in a toxic relationship with a guy. He brings you flowers once.
Mm-hmm.
Once. And you feel a rush of happiness. And you're like, wait a minute. This is the first time I'm feeling happiness. We've been together 1.5 years. Hold
exactly.
on a second. Hold on a second. You know?
Right. But right? if you're not emotionally mature, how would you even understand that yeah. concept?
You just go with the flow of your emotions and mm-hmm. wherever that takes you. And you live your life according to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need that.
I think when I truly realized that I've really changed, like me personally, like when I realized that I changed, like emotionally, like maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is when I realized sometimes you don't have to say something.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to walk away from a situation. Because yeah. before I used to be the type to like, it's like say everything that I was mad about. Like I would want to yell at people. I would want to do A, B, C, and D. But sometimes you don't have to say too much.
Mm-hmm.
You see a problem, you just walk away from it and call it a day. You know, yeah. I think that in our generation, we really believe that we have to speak on everything for it to be validated.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we don't say something, then that means, oh, if we don't say anything, that means we look guilty or that makes me look. Honestly, forget that. If you feel like what you're doing is right, you're not hurting anybody,
yeah.
then do it. That's being emotionally mature,
mm-hmm.
not just doing stuff just because your friends are doing it,
yeah.
not just doing stuff because at that second you're mad. At that second, you do what your emotion wants you to do. Being most emotionally mature is honestly just having the stability to take a second and analyze why you're feeling what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And I always tell all my friends that don't just react with your instant emotion. Take a second.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still believe that the behavior you're about to exhibit to other people is right, girl, do it. It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
Even if 1,000 people are telling you what you're doing is wrong, you're immature, yada, yada, yada. Forget that.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you sat there, you analyzed the situation, you brought your emotions down, you understand people's perspective, and you still did what you did, I feel like that's being emotionally mature, yeah. 100%.
If you are able to objectively rationalize a situation with pure logic without the interference of any emotions or
mm-hmm.
anyone else's bias,
right.
then you've done the right thing. Other people are the ones who are emotionally immature, who are not able to evaluate the situation for
mm-hmm.
what it is, you know?
Right.
If someone else is acting out on their emotions and they're like, well, you pissed me off, then that's their problem. That's not yours
mm-hmm.
because you did what was right. So, you know.
But you know, the crazy part is like sometimes you like I have to understand that other people don't have my mindset of
mm-hmm.
how to handle situations because,
yeah.
you know, everyone grew up so differently. Everyone went through certain stuff that changed the way they think.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walk into a situation, I always have to remember that, you know what, this person right here might not be at the same level as I am as far as this situation.
Yeah.
This person might just be reacting with their emotions. And sometimes it is hard, like, if someone's yelling at you or someone's saying stuff about you and you're just sitting there quiet. Because, of course, if someone's yelling at you, of course, if someone's talking about you, your first instinct is yell back. Your first instinct
yeah.
is to talk about that person.
Mm-hmm.
But emotional immaturity comes in when you sit there and be like, you know what? They can win.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel as though that them yelling is them winning and you being quiet is you losing, let them win. It's
yeah.
okay. Pick your peace over everything.
Exactly.
Pick your peace.
We keep
Don't
coming
mind
back to that.
These people. Pick yourself.
Mm-hmm. We keep coming back to that. And it's honestly so significant as to like, you know, when it comes to everything, pick yourself.
Pick yourself.
You know?
And that sounds so
conceited, but like.
So conceited. But if you truly get what we're saying, it's not something that's conceited, though. That's
it's
the
not.
Thing.
It's the fact that you are the only person who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And, you know, I know I'm repeating myself.
Ooh, I like that. I'm taking that.
You know, you like, people
you're the
are
only
like, oh.
guaranteed for yourself.
Yeah, it's not your family. It's not the person you're going to marry or if you marry someone. It's the only guarantee is yourself, your thoughts, and your emotions.
Exactly.
And so when you're sacrificing those for the sake of others, for, you know, for ruining your mental health because you were too emotional and unable to rationalize
mm-hmm.
your emotions because you're emotionally immature, you're only messing up your own life.
Exactly.
You know?
No, exactly.
Yeah. So that is the best advice we can give, I guess, in order to emotionally mature yourself. It's so fun to say that, by the way.
I love that.
You gotta, I guess, evaluate what parts of yourself are immature. In what ways are you acting that is emotionally immature?
Oh, and I have another one. Very
mm-hmm.
important,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you reach immersion, oh, not immersion, please did not put that in. I think when you completely reach emotional maturity is realizing that you are not always right.
Mm-hmm.
I hate people who think they're always right 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. That bothers the heck out of me.
Because when you're emotionally mature, you're going to know that, yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I fucked up. And that's okay.
I'm really the type of person, and it's such a fine line between being forgiving and being gullible.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, if the situation isn't as extreme as it really is, because, you know, there's some situations that are just a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come to me and say, you know what, I apologize for what I did, and you explain to me why you did it, I will forgive you. And it was bygones being bygones. So that's what I expect from myself to other people, too.
Yeah.
If I really feel as though I did something wrong, I'm not the type to just be quiet about it or mm-hmm. say, well, I did that because. No, I'm going to say I apologize and there's no excuse for my action.
Yeah.
I hate when people apologize and they put that but.
Yeah.
Because then it sort of invalidates everything mm-hmm. that you're saying in your apology.
It's like you're not taking responsibility for your actions.
If you're not taking responsibility, if you don't take responsibility for your actions ever, there's seriously a problem.
Yeah, there really is.
No, if you're 30 years old right now and you've never taken responsibility for your actions, or you feel like every situation since you were young to the age of 30, you've never been wrong about, yeah, there's something really off.
Yeah.
No one's perfect. And it's okay not to be perfect.
True.
But at the same time, we have to understand that we're humans. We make mistakes. And even though it's easy for us to spot out other people's mistakes, that's when emotional maturity comes in, because you sit down and you say, okay, if I'm trying to really understand a situation, really analyze the situation, let me try to understand why they thought what I did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just off because you're mad, you're upset, you feel like you're right, that how they feel is invalidated.
Yeah.
What they feel is validated just as much as you feel. That's where emotional maturity comes into place.
Yeah.
Where you have to say, you know what? I am not the only person hurt in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out together why something happened. And if you can tell me what I did was wrong and not yell at me, because if you yell at me, the conversation's over. I don't care. I don't care if I'm in the wrong or not. But if you can sit down and tell me, Chinma, I don't like you did A, B, or C. This is why. Examples how. I'm going to sit there and be like, huh, I didn't know that. I apologize. I didn't mean for that to come off like that, but I do apologize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. No, literally what you're saying, all true. All mm-hmm. true. I mean, I have nothing else to add. Like, that was perfect.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, so emotionally maturing. It's difficult, but it is doable.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of all we have today.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. We were interrupted in the middle of this episode and told that the last episode we recorded actually will not be released because we messed up with the mics
and
stuff. No worries, though. We got to listen to a great SoundCloud rap song, which out of context sounds really weird. But believe me, it's funny. but otherwise, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Well, just make sure you're asking questions. I'm going to put up some stickers today and tomorrow and mm-hmm. probably the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Please ask us questions. DM, Facebook, Instagram,
yep,
Twitter.
Yep.
If you have my number for some reason, text me. Like, we need, the way our show works is if we don't have any questions, we don't have a show.
No,
so
literally.
Please submit your questions. Get as, okay, I'm not going to say get as graphic as possible because, you know, some people don't have boundary
issues. Give us
issue.
The juicy details, though, because we're both nosy.
Oh, yes, for sure. Give us the juicy details, but if it's too much, we might not say all parts, but we'll mm-hmm. we'll definitely come on here and talk about something.
yeah, no, I'm gonna walk around the Union and tap these new NPC thingies against random people's phones.
So cool.
Oh my gosh, to explain to people who are listening to this, we've got like this, what's it called? NPC technology, error technology.
I have no idea.
I'm a computer science major.
Before.
I have no idea what this is.
I'm
but
a psych
you tap
major,
it,
so,
you tap it against your phone and it opens up a link to our podcast. It's great. So if you see me around campus, literally come up to me and I will tap this against your phone. it's great. But yeah, I don't think there's anything else. That's it.
Cool.
All right, cool. It's going to be Friday by the time you guys listen to this.
Happy Friday.
Have a great weekend, you know, emotionally maturing and all that.
Yes, Christmas is coming up.
And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
All right, bye guys.
Bye.
Be safe.